The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Thank you for joining us on this Friday for the podcast, a radio broadcast of the Grace Evangelical Society called Grace in Focus. Now, today is a question and answer program, and one of our listeners has asked the question, do Christians get crowns, and do some Christians get more rewards than others? I think it's going to be an interesting discussion just ahead. Afterwards, I'll tell you more about Grace in Focus and the Grace Evangelical Society. Right now, let's go to that discussion with Bob Wilkin and Steve Elkins. Gentlemen.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm here with
Steve Elkins.
All right, Steve, what do we have a question today from somebody, don't we?
Yes, Bob. A fellow named Andrew writes in, 1 Peter 1:4 says that he thinks it says, all receive an inheritance, and it gives data to affirm that everyone is going to get rewards and crowns. He says, I don't believe that, but it's strongly worded in 1 Peter, so how can I argue about it? He wants to know what Peter's talking about. He says, Hodges says the saving of the soul that Peter mentions is clear, but what reference is there that there are first-class seats and coach-class seats in the kingdom?
Wait a minute. First-class seats and coach seats?
That's what he said.
So some people are going to be up there in the big leather seats, and other people are going to be coaches. Are business class, too?
Well, evidently.
Okay. Well, I know what he's talking about. He's basically saying, do some people get more rewards than others? And is Peter saying that? So could you read that section?
Yes. It actually begins in verse 3 where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, born us again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now here's the part he's concerned about. Peter says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Okay, first of all, I think Andrew is aware of the principle we find in Romans 8:17, which you may wonder, why am I jumping from 1 Peter 1 to Romans 8:17? It's because Romans 8:17 indicates there's two types of inheritance. What are the two types in Romans 8:17?
In 8:17 it says, and if children, then heirs, on one hand heirs of God, but on the other hand co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we co-suffer with him in order that we may be co-glorified with him.
So notice, all believers, all children of God are heirs of God. That's right. A general, what we might call inheritance. Mm-hmm. It's the inheritance of the children of God. But then there's a separate inheritance for those who suffer with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him. And that's called co-heirs with Christ, that will rule with Christ, will reign with Christ. And we see that all through the New Testament, that all believers will be in the kingdom. In that sense, they're heirs of God. But to be joint heirs with Christ, or what the author of Hebrews would call it, the metakoi, the partners, we must suffer with him.
Paul says, summing it up, and really, it could be a theme verse for all of Hebrews, even though it's in 2 Timothy.
Right.
If we endure with him, we shall also reign with him.
Right. So the question in 1 Peter 1:4, is Peter talking about what I would call the passive inheritance that all children of God have, or is he talking about the active inheritance that only those who suffer with Christ and endure receive? Now, I think there are several hints here that he's talking about what Andrew calls rewards, the first class kind of experience in the kingdom. For example, Zane Hodges points out that the language used here by Peter is reminiscent of what Jesus said in Matthew 6:19-21. Remember where he said, don't lay up treasure on earth, but lay it up in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy and thieves can't break in or steal. And what does Peter call it? An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, shall not fade away. Mm-hmm. What Hodges suggests is that's not talking about eternal security of our salvation in the sense of regeneration. This is talking about the future security of ruling with Christ. It's a different use of soteria. Hodges points out that this word for receiving is chemizomai. Chemizomai has the idea, he quotes here, of receiving back, to get what has belonged to oneself but has been lost, or else promised but kept back, or to get what has come to be one's own by earning. So the point is, we can earn eternal rewards, but we're only going to keep that if we persevere. Really, in order to understand verse 4, you almost need to drop down to verses 10 through 12, because the word salvation appears again in verse 9. Maybe you could read that.
Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, maybe the deliverance of your lives, it could be translated. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who is in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow.
Yeah, and I should have said, actually, the charismai occurs there in verse 9. They're receiving, and what does it say as the outcome of their faith?
The salvation or saving. Here it says souls, but normally isn't that expression always translated in other passages? Saving of one's life. It was a Greek idiom, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. These Old Testament prophets were searching about this and longing to understand it. We know the Old Testament prophets knew about the coming kingdom. They knew about being forever with the Lord in his kingdom. And so they knew about eternal salvation in the sense of regeneration. But the question is, what were they searching for? And it's the glories to be revealed. Mm-hmm. These glories, it seems to me, refer to the special rewards that God will give to those who reign with him, those who rule with him.
It seems too, Bob, doesn't it, that verse 11, they were searching about what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was revealing to them, about the sufferings and then the glories to follow, which that too ties into the inheritance concept of an earned inheritance through sufferings, Romans 8:17.
Right.
But also, aren't they looking through the corridors of time, these prophets, and they don't see that the sufferings of Christ were greatly separated, as we know now, by over 2,000 years plus from his glories, and they didn't know that. To them, it looked like maybe it was going to happen at the same time based on some of their prophecies where the sufferings and glories are right back to back.
Yeah, it's a good point. In verse 9, when he says receiving, this is basically related to pay. The end of your faith. Hodges has a good comment, and the word end there is telos, which is something that's pointed toward, aimed toward. And he says, Hodges says, quote, "The true goal of Christian faith is more than to escape eternal damnation. It is to achieve a fullness of life now and a resplendent glory in the age to come. For this, sufferings are as necessary to us as they were to our Lord. For him, the path to glory led to the cross, so also for his followers. It was this great lesson Peter and the other disciples learned with difficulty in the period of the Gospels." This is the great lesson of 1 Peter. As Christ won glory through suffering, so do we through our suffering. If we triumph in it, as he did, we save our souls, or we save our lives. That's unquote. That's Hodges.
And the Lord did teach that. Think of James and John. They want to sit on Jesus' right or left hand in the kingdom. What did Jesus say to them? It's not for him to just give it willy-nilly. He says, are you able to drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of? These positions are given based on our sufferings for Christ.
Right. That's a good point. Notice in verses 4 and 5, I remember I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ in 1978, just before I started at Dallas Seminary. I spent a week with Josh McDowell, and we went to Marshall University. He spoke there on the great resurrection hoax and everything, and we had a lot of good experiences. At one point, I cited this verse. I said, isn't this a great verse of eternal security? Mm. It says, we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it won't fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. I said, look, it's a done deal. And I still remember this. Josh said, yeah, but what do you do with verse 5? Where verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Mm-hmm. It's kept through faith, which sounds like through ongoing faith. It's not kept through our initial faith. The point is, I think Hodges is right, especially when you tie this in with the whole of the book. First Peter's about suffering for Christ that you might rule and reign with him in the future. It would make sense the first chapter is about that too. Yeah. So therefore, when we talk about this inheritance and the two types from Romans 8:17, I think it's pretty clear this is the second type, if we suffer with him.
Right.
And doesn't that sound like 1 Corinthians 3:10-15 about all our works are going to be tested by fire? And in the revelation of Jesus sure sounds like the return of Christ and the judgment seat of Christ.
No question about that. And that, as you said, that certainly is the theme of 1 Peter. I love later on in 1 Peter 4:12, he says some of the same things as he's wrapping it up. He says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." And then he says, "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad." And this is a phrase straight out of the Beatitudes, "with inexpressible exceeding joy." That verse seems to indicate to the extent we co-suffer with Christ and share in his sufferings, we're going to have glory to that extent.
That's a good point. Coming back to Andrew's point of first class and coach, there's a whole lot more options than first class and coach, right?
That's right.
To the extent we suffer with him, to that extent we're glorified with him. Keep in mind, somebody's ruling over the whole planet. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But somebody's going to be his right-hand man. That appears to be King David.
Right.
And then under him are the 12 apostles that rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. So Israel will have 12 co-rulers. But every country on earth is going to have a ruler, and there's going to be sub-rulers that rule over various regions. In the coming kingdom, there's going to be a wide range of rewards.
Absolutely, and these inheritance-type rewards are always based on endurance, like in Revelation 2 where it says, we need to hold fast till he comes, keep his works to the end, and if we do, we're going to have power over the nations.
Revelation 2:26.
Right.
Well, thank you, Steve. And Andrew, that's a great question. I would encourage all of you to consider the book of 1 Peter. We do have a commentary by Zane Hodges on 1 Peter. If you're interested, at faithalone.org. Keep grace in focus.
Thank you both for that informative discussion. Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are some of the happiest people in the world. If you would like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. Learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And next time on Grace in Focus, does Satan still have access to God in heaven, as in Job 1:6? And is humility required to have faith for salvation? We're looking forward to having you with us for the next Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.